It's fucked.
Yeah, it is.
The Wire.
Thanks to Hannah Ross for that report on Nikki's eviction. Next up on The Wire, on Valentine's Day, writers Adam Reynolds and Chaz Harris released Promised Land, a children's fantasy book with a gay love story at its centre. I spoke to Chaz about the reception of the book and the importance of representation.
Promised Land is a new gay fairy tale children's book. It's 32 illustrated pages, and it's about a young prince and a farm boy who meet, and their newfound friendship as they grow up together develops and blossoms into love. However, when the queen remarries, her sinister new husband puts a spell on her and then seeks control of the enchanted forest that the farm boy's family are responsible for protecting.
And now I understand that the main love story is a gay love story, which is obviously quite fresh for a children's book, but I understand that there's some diversity and also race and gender there going on.
Yeah, so our prince and the queen are people of colour, and we've definitely got kind of destroying the damsel in distress trope that's so prevalent in fairy tales. Mm-hmm. Both our female characters ultimately don't end up with men at the end of the story, which is a lot of media, even film, that kind of traditional sort of mindset has been prevalent.
And how's the release gone so far?
Very well, yeah. We've had quite a lot of international media coverage, which has been really great.
I saw you guys even made BuzzFeed and among other news media organizations overseas.
Yes.
Has the reaction been mostly positive or mostly negative or a mixture?
Oh, I mean, definitely mostly positive. I mean, you just kind of look at social media reactions, on like things like Facebook, where people can like and love it. And I think Upworthy had like 15K, so it was like 12K likes and 2.5K loves, and then 79 angry people.
And how do you just choose to ignore those kind of 79 angry people, or does that bother you?
I tend to dive in sometimes into the comments and just kind of debate it, because there's so many things about this that, because the world is so devoid of this type of, story and media, especially for young people, we end up sort of over-sexualizing things. So if you say there's a love story between a man and a woman, no one sort of even blinks an eye, and we all take our kids to see movies that, have that in it. But the moment that it's same sex, everyone suddenly thinks, don't tell kids about sex. And it's like, well, there's no sex in the book. It's like, there's just love. And then there's, you get the kind of comments like, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. And so I just say, well, it's Jack and Leo, actually.
Those kind of reactions when people directly associate, homosexuality with sex, and they think it's not appropriate for young people. Why do you think that happens? Why do you think people make that correlation in their mind?
I think it's just like I was saying, like all of the media, anytime that gay people are represented in the media, especially gay men, it is very sexualized. It's it's very there isn't anything. We don't talk about love enough. It tends to be those quite over sexualized imagery, and I think that over time has just created that unconscious bias that, this is something that is adult and shouldn't be talked about. But I mean, some kids don't even become adults because they don't see any representation. And if you don't see yourself in stories, you don't see yourself in the world.
Do you want to extend on that point? Why is it important to have this kind of representation, and particularly in children's stories?
Well, when I was growing up, my only representation that told me that anyone like me existed was like watching the Oprah Winfrey Show. And they would have, gay guests on their talk, but most of the time they were talking about things like gay marriage, and they had like the opposition there. So you kind of, it's in a tragic context. So something awful's maybe happened to them, or they're debating why they should have kind of basic human rights. And so then that kind of creates that otherness, and you kind of grow up very conscious that, I think I might be a little bit different, but I don't know, is that okay? Like the world around me doesn't really say that's okay, and I'm not in stories, and I can't really see anyone like me. And I think that's changed definitely in the last 20 years. I mean, Ellen came out when I was 15 or 14, and then ever since then, you've seen a lot more representation. You've seen shows like Will and Grace. You've seen a lot of that has given people, especially young people, like that kind of, I see someone that's kind of like me, and it sort of normalizes and makes you feel like you fit in.
As we've seen kind of more queer stories crop up in, you know, modern times, there's obviously a distinction between the character who is gay, incidentally, and the character whose story is about them being gay. Which kind of story is Promised Land?
It was very important to Adam and I when we started working on this that we said this story needs to not be about there's a lot of stories, even children's books that we looked at, that are defining diversity, like the story is diversity. So if you say, you know, Tom has two dads, that's fine, but if you said Tom has a mum and a dad, a kid's gonna go, well, that's boring, like that's not a story. So it's like you want to create a story that stands on its own and that is exciting and has magic and adventure, and then it's like, oh, but there's gay characters in it. And that was the aim, and that's what the story is. That's the way people have definitely received it, which is great.
And what's the power of that? How does that distinct it from those kind of, you know, Tom has two dads stories?
I think it's that kind of normalization. Like, it's just like every other fairy tale. There are plenty of fairy tales with adventure and magic and all that kind of thing in it. And it's like, oh, but if we're not in those, and specifically in a message where it's happily ever after, I guess, is that kind of fairy tales are so synonymous with that happily ever after message. And I grew up not having that. And so I believed that wasn't possible if I was gay. And so, I mean, I had other sort of, I had storytelling dreams. So that was kind of what got me through a lot of bullying at high school. But it was, if I didn't have that, there was no messaging out there that kind of gave me that kind of hope and positive message and positive portrayal and like heroes really that are queer.
Now the world at the moment and the media surrounding, you know, a certain political figure lately.
He shall not be named.
Yeah, he must not be named, exactly. When you guys were kind of planning the book and crowdfunding for the book, it almost feels like it's a different world right now, you know, compared to, you know, last year. And I saw that you guys have dedicated the book to victims of the Orlando massacre.
Yes.
So do you want to talk about that, about how important it's been for you guys to push this out as the world has kind of become more volatile?
Yeah, so we finished the text for the book on the 11th of June, Saturday the 11th of June, that Adam was around at my house and we finished it. We had our feedback from our editor and it was like, okay, it's done, hand it over to the illustrator, because we hand it off to the illustrator and don't change the text after that was sort of the rules. So we did that, and then the next day that the news broke about the Pulse shooting, and because obviously our characters, a queen and our prince, are people of colour. We haven't in the book, or it's not canon, and defined that the ethnicity of the characters is anything, because it's a fantasy kingdom, but they were definitely, in terms of design, Latino inspired. So when that happened, it was like, I feel like someone just walked into a club and shot a character 49 times. Like, it was, I spent about a month where I just couldn't function. And I think I talked about it a bit with BuzzFeed, but it's that, you know, my friends are just going, why do you care so much? Why are you being affected by this? Did you know someone? And it's that sense of if, you know, an attack on one of us is an attack on all of us, in terms of we all feel it in the LGBTQ community. So that was something that was really important. And, you know, the reason that was cited that he had gone into this club and killed those people was because the image of two men kissing in the street disgusted him so much that he wanted them all dead. And that is how our story ends, with that image. And so that was, it was basically like, we're trying to stop that anything like that ever happening again.
So around, you know, up to 8,000 or 10,000.
Shit. The Wire. Yeah.